Ladies and gentlemen, in the blue corner, standing at a sleek 5'11", 245 pounds, the tumultuous tempest of technique, Thomas Lilly. And in the red corner, at a curvaceous 5'11", 315 pounds, the jovial juggernaut of judgment, John Cheryl Sheridan. A meeting of the masters of mastication. Turn your attention as they delve deep into all things lifting and more. This is Peak Speak.
Welcome back. It's Peak Speak, but you already know that because you've clicked on Peak Speak and hit play. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. We're getting closer and closer to gyms reopening in Queensland. June 12th, which is 3 weeks from today, or 3 weeks from yesterday, which is exciting.
Sick. We're looking at like officially like the 30th of May or the 31st of May, I think, where like officially allowed to be open, but we're probably not going to open till more like the 4th or 5th of June to account for like getting all our equipment back and cleaning things and setting the whole place up and stuff like that.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, we're doing much the same thing. We're just doing it before the opening date so we can be open on the day.
I'm waiting to hear actual confirmation before I commit to a date, because what I don't want to do is get all the equipment back and then 2 days later have to lend it all out again, because it turns out, oh no, actually we're bumping that date a couple of weeks.
Yeah, the thing that frightens me in Queensland is with gyms and fitness centers, it's the only one that has an asterisk next to it. So it's like June 12th, asterisk gym and fitness stuff. But I think that's because the larger gyms are allowed to submit an application for maybe the 4 square meter rule with social distancing.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's supposed to be 20 people only.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how the government's navigating that, but we'll be opening with the 20 people.
Yeah, exactly. We're in the same position. A busy night for us would be like 20 people in there. So we're just going to run like time cap sessions, and you have to book a time and do those sort of things just so we can ensure that, you know, people, we're not going over that number. Cause I mean, you know, we've got a big gym too, but I still want to do this in the most responsible way possible.
Yeah. I'll be doing the right thing by not going to the gym very often. And it's got nothing to do with the fact that I'm now accustomed from spending most of my time at home.
Dude, I'm in exactly the same boat. I've been quite enjoying being home and being able to like put Rafik to bed at night and not get out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning to be at the gym at 5:30. So yeah, I'm certainly going to reassess the number of hours I'm actually in the gym itself.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to the two gym managers that I have, Daniel and James. They've really stepped up during this time and really shown their leadership. And it's made me so much more confident that I don't have to be at the gym as often to still have a successful business in a thriving community. And I mean, for us, for like you and I and people who run gyms like ours, you know, there's a lot of whispers around of like, oh, everyone's bought gym equipment and set up home gyms. Now are the gyms going to do all right because, you know, people have stuff at home? Are they even going to want to come back? I mean, like the fact that there's so many small community gyms like us who immediately gave our equipment out is awesome for business, because now the community comes back together and everyone trains where they were training because they don't have home setups.
Yeah. And I think like we're still really only like what, 6-7 weeks into these like people training at home. The 6 or 7 weeks is long enough that it's still a novel thing that you're enjoying doing because it's new. Certainly for people in Canberra, like, oh, it's fucking -4 outside and I got to go train in my shed by myself in the cold. Like it's a different story. And I think the type of, like, I had this conversation with someone the other day, the type of people that were always going to train at home were already training at home before all of this started. And so I think we'll probably see some balance. Like I reckon some of our guys who've maybe bought some equipment will do a little bit of stuff at home, which is great. Like it gives you more opportunity to work on what it is you want to work on. But I don't think you can replace the community ultimately. Like that's the really hard part that you miss out on a lot in being at home by yourself.
For sure. I always just, you know, like with my whole practice in general, everything eventually gets determined or confirmed by anecdotal experience. And over the years, I've had so many gym members buy power racks, buy bars, buy benches. And I immediately think, oh, I've lost a member. They're going to start training at home. That stuff inevitably sits there. And, you know, after a few years, they're like, hey, man, can you help me sell this?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not too worried about that from my perspective. And the thing that I've stolen from you that I talk about quite a bit now is that idea of the third place. I mean, like you can't replace that. Or it's,
man.
If your third place is the gym, you're not going to find that at home.
Yeah. And I had this discussion yesterday with one of the members who's like, oh, if I like had a power rack at home after this, I'd just probably never leave home. I was like, yeah, but you would, because there's a lot of power in going to a place to do a thing.
Hmm.
You know, like I found that in climbing, like I found the cathartic benefit in being away from my workplace to get that me time, so to speak. I've got a similar thing in riding my bike now, because I go outside and do a thing. Like I've always found, personally at least, that there's more power from a motivation sort of discipline standpoint if I have to go somewhere to do it. I think if it's at home, or you know, if it's at work, I often can find excuses. So I think there's a lot of power in that as well.
It's automatic accountability as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know if other people are hardwired like this, but certainly for me, like I used to love gardening and now I hate it with a passion. I made this elaborate massive garden in my backyard that was just grass. I've planted numerous trees that eventually all got overgrown and turned into a jungle and require maintenance that I'm not willing to do. So I very rarely go out in the backyard either, partially because I don't want to go out there and look at how horrible the garden is, and partially because the world is a dangerous place outside. namely, there's a wasp nest shortly out of my back door and I'm too afraid to go outside.
That's funny.
But for me personally, when I start doing something, I can't stop. Like if I'm there and I'm like doing it, it's like, okay, I'm here. I have to do it now.
Yeah,
you drive to the gym. You're like, I'm here. I have to do it now. When you're training at home, it's really easy to walk into your garage and be like, not today, old friend. Back inside we go.
Oh man. And it's exactly the same training in the gym where I work. Like I walk out of my office and have to turn on training mode, which I find still to this day, 5 years into owning a gym, I find really hard.
Mm.
So yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting to see. I wouldn't be surprised if some people do a bit of a, you know, some at home, some in the gym sort of a thing, but I think it'll be interesting to see. And either way, I think about 6 months from now, you and I are going to have our fucking pick of secondhand, barely used gym equipment for bargain basement prices.
Yeah. The problem is that the market now is oversaturated with like panic buying really cheap, the last left of all the cheap Chinese stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw someone who was like, oh yeah, we've got a container landing in July. I'm like, dude, you've missed that boat. No one's going to buy your equipment.
Yeah. And I guess that segues nicely into our topic for today.
That's one of the smoothest segues we've done in a while.
It was so smooth, I even didn't want to say it. I was just going to be like, so what is it going to look like for your lifters returning to training?
Yeah.
But I suppose we have to give it a title.
Yes. Yes. Post-apocalypse training.
Mm.
It's certainly going to look different, I think, for a lot of people. But yeah, that was the topic I suggested because I thought we could... not necessarily give sets and reps and those sort of things, because I think a lot of that is a little too in the weeds for a podcast format, but instead have a chat about some of the ideas that we're going to try and instill in our own lifters and, you know, guidelines and things like that, that you can use to help you make reasonable quality decisions in your return to training.
Hmm. Yeah, I think for me and the approach that I'm going to be taking with my lifters, as everyone will know that listens to this more than once, very calculated, very sterile sort of approach. It's just returning straight back to the principles. And, you know, in times like this where it is kind of unpredictable and a strange situation, all you can really do is rely on the principles and liken it to other situations. It's like, what's it like when you have a surgery and go away from lifting for 8 weeks? Or what's it like when you go on holiday and you can lift for 8 weeks, but it's you know, limited equipment and equipment that you're not used to and environments that you're not used to? It's very much akin to that to those situations. So that's the kind of approach I'll be taking with people, is like a slow return, a slow, almost like a, it's just deload training, but I call it reloading, right? A reload sort of period where you're
EM trademark.
Yeah, where you're slowly ramping back into regular intensities. And I was thinking the other day about, like, I was talking to someone else about this, and you know, people having the desire to go really hard because they're now returning to an environment where they can train hard. And my initial knee-jerk reaction is to be like, nah, don't go too hard too fast. It's going to be a bad idea. But I think there's something to be said for, like, returning to your environment. If you have continued to train in this off time, and finding the love for intensity again, because I think over time we do automatically sort of down-regulate the intensity that we bring to accessories, the intensity that we bring to the overall session in terms of rest periods and stuff like that. I think now is a good time to find that love and passion again for going hard. And it's not going hard without thinking about it, but it's going hard within reason, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I think we could spend an hour talking about how to have a nice controlled and regulated return to training. And I guarantee you that you and I are the sort of people that are deep down meatheads at heart. And I've fucking done it before. Like, oh, I'll take 6 weeks off training, just come do 5 sets of 10. It'll be fine. And then, like, crippled myself for weeks at a time. Like, I say these things from a place of love because I've done it to myself so many fucking times that, because I do exactly that. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Training's fucking awesome. Let's go really hard. And then it just hurts for a long period of time. And I think if you do it well, you can have a reasonable balance between, like, a bit of meathead stupidity that we all sort of know and love, and a little bit more of a logically thought out training process that allows you to actually maximize, you know, the opportunities that you have. Because for a lot of us, this is a forced downtime, be it completely or partially, that we maybe never would have taken otherwise. You know, I think there are a lot of people who would have scoffed at the idea of taking 6 weeks of reduced or slightly different training for any reason outside of they were forced to. And I think it can be a really useful opportunity to then see it as that, right? Like, it can be a positive thing, and it can be this chance to sort of reset some of your habits and be a bit more critical about what you're doing and why you're making the decisions you're making.
Yeah. I mean, this is such a good time to start to take that more thoughtful pursuit to how you train. I mean, it's really funny. Like, if you listen to really old episodes, we've got one on auto-regulation and RPE. Mm. And both of our views I know have changed significantly since we recorded that. It's an interesting snapshot in time of, like, what we thought then versus, you know, this is what we think now. And I'm sure you'll agree with this, but correct me if I'm wrong, but now is a really, really good time if you haven't already started to become in tune with the system of something like RPE. Now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
Because now, like, regardless of whether you want it to or not, every single lift that you do has an RPE. And for you to start to, you know, start from a period where measuring your strength is not as easy with numbers, because perhaps you haven't been able to do that because you've only had access to a 16 kilo kettlebell or the like. Now is a really good time to start to gauge that internal load and the effect it's having on you, and start to record that and get good at becoming attuned to what you're feeling relative to what's on the bar without using the number that's on the bar.
Yeah.
Becoming more attuned to, like, this is what this feels like.
Yeah.
Because that's a very, very, very good skill to have.
Yeah, man. I'm certainly going to, I generally lean on a combination of percentage and RPE work in most of my programming for almost all levels of experience. And I'm certainly going to encourage, especially a lot of the relatively novice or more beginner level lifters, to really think about that and to have them program exclusively using RPE as guidelines, because, like, you can't use a percentage. Even if you've, like, had access to a full gym and trained across this 6 week period, I would argue you're very much in the minority. And so any percentage estimated max, or sorry, any, you know, training max number that you're using is probably a bit out of whack, regardless of how well conditioned you are at the moment. And so being able to use something like RPE as not just a guideline for intensity, but also in terms of work capacity stuff. So I quite like using, I think the RTS guys refer to it as a fatigue stop. So it would be where like you would work up to say a set of five at a seven RPE, and then you would take that weight, say it's 100 kilos, and you would repeat sets of five at that weight until it becomes some other RPE. So like it might be, you know, until it becomes an eight RPE or until it becomes a nine. And I think in this circumstance, that's going to be really useful to allow people to like get the right amount of work for them in early on without going a little bit too crazy based on some arbitrary number of sets that I decided was the right number for you right now. And I think those sort of tools can be very, very useful in this environment where, I mean, realistically, you could take the same 1 week of training and in a RTS emerging strategy style, just repeat it and add a little bit of weight each week and actually get heaps out of it, because it does just need to be a relatively gradual approach to returning to that. And so rather than trying to arbitrarily add sets and reps or add exercises week in, week out, just taking a single training week and being able to just build on it over the course of say 4 or 5 weeks, like that's enough to allow you a bit of wiggle room to like be a bit stupid sometimes, because we're all going to do that at a certain point, but also still actually get the most out of where you are right now, because that's the important part, right? Not comparing yourself to where you were 6 weeks ago or 12 weeks ago, comparing yourself to where you are right now and what did you do in the last time you were exposed to this. Let's work on that as the baseline rather than some number that used to be your max.
Yeah. And for me personally, like in my coaching experience over the years, I would say that if you've maintained some degree of movement, not the same, like if you've been running a program and you've been having access to weights, I mean, you can pretty much pick up where you left off to a degree. If you've only had like limited weight and you've been having to do heaps of body weight stuff, about the time that you had away from regular programming is about the time that it'll take to get you back to regular programming, which in the grand scheme of things is nothing. Yeah. If you can do that style of like, you know, what John suggested of the same program, add a little bit more each week or, you know, some sort of variation of that, it's only going to take you 4 to 6 weeks, like one training block to be back to where you were. And then it's just pick up and keep going as usual. It's not that daunting of an experience for me personally as well. Like I'm, like you said before, meathead, I've had way too many times where you're training, like where I return to training after a holiday or after time off or whatever, where halfway through the session, it's like, okay, I have delayed onset muscle soreness half an hour after the activity. I've gone, this is RPE too much.
Yeah, and then I'm fucked for a week. I refer to that as EOMS, instant onset muscle soreness.
Yeah, I call it instant DOMS.
Yeah.
it's the worst feeling, because you're like, okay, I'm actually fucked now.
Yeah, I've got two sets of squats to go and my quads are locking up like I squatted yesterday. It's great.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
I think we've all been there.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, if you experience that, that's not a bad thing. It's not going to be the end of the world if you do push yourself a little bit too hard in this first 6 weeks. I guess, you know, we're coming from the standpoint of like, as a coach, our job is to get you in the best shape as possible as quickly as possible. Like we are use your time as a coach. Yeah.
And to use your time as effectively as possible. Exactly. And that's where I think that is actually to your detriment. It's just not an effective use of time. Cause I know it. The time I went to Europe for 6 weeks and the heaviest thing I lifted was a pint of beer. And then I came back and was like, I'll just do 5 sets of 10 on the squat. It'll be fine. And I literally didn't train again for 2 weeks. Like basically I gave myself an 8 week deload with one training session because I was so fucked. I couldn't bend my knees for 4 days.
Yeah. Plus you get PTSD. You're like, I don't want to feel that again.
Exactly. It's, it's definitely one of those things that is something that you probably need to do at least once in your training life, just so you recognize how incredibly miserable it really is. Mm. But I think that one of the interesting lessons that I guess a lot of people can take out of this is realizing, and most of you probably won't recognize this until well after the fact, but like you said, realizing that like 6 weeks, 7 weeks in the scheme of things is actually fuck all. Like a year from now, most of the people who are listening to this, because you know, you would assume that if you're listening to us wonk on about powerlifting for hours at a time, you're probably pretty into powerlifting. A year from now, you'll probably be stronger than you were 7 weeks ago anyway. Mm. And so this 7 week, 8 week block, whatever it is, where things were a bit messy, is probably going to just be a very small blip on a long time scale. And I think that that can then give everyone a very useful forced perspective on things like injury. Like I think that, or I hope that everyone who went through this period from a lifting standpoint can come back in the years to follow and be able to reference back to like, hey, that 6-7 week period wasn't that bad. Like, you know, I did some other things and then I got back to what I was doing and now I'm stronger than I was. You know, I don't think there's anyone who's going to A, listen to this and B, have taken 6 weeks off and then be like, well, fuck it. I'm never going back to the gym again. This is stupid. So I think remembering this as a useful reference for what it's going to be like if you do get hurt or if you do have some other enforced layoff, I think this can be a really useful thing to look back on and be like, oh, yeah, it wasn't that bad and I came back quicker than I thought.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. Do you think there's any risk of the opposite problem happening where people are coming back to the gym and they've been away from that social setting for so long that, you know, because for me, when I'm training with less people around, I actually train a lot more efficiently. Like I train way faster. I train way harder. Do you think there's risk for some people coming back to be lost in the, like the social setting of the third place and actually like decrease their training intensity and train less hard than they were at home?
I'm almost certain that will happen in many respects, but I think like anything, it'll probably equalize itself over a long enough time period. Like there'll be a peak of like, fuck, we're all in the same room again. This is sick. Oh, I did two sets and it took me 90 minutes and now I have to leave because there's a time cap on my session. Mm. But I think it'll rebound and equalize eventually as we all just sort of adjust to like whatever a new normal looks like. You know, I don't think it's going to be like, hey, turns out I can't actually train when anyone else is around because I'm a social butterfly and I don't know how to stop talking. But I think there'll be somewhere in the middle for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny you brought up the time thing, like how short a period of time it actually feels like. Because, you know, it feels like it was yesterday that we were like, oh, no, gyms are shut down. This is so bad. And now it's like 2 weeks later and we're opening gyms. And it's like, oh, I wish we could stay locked down for a little bit longer.
I said this to someone the other day, like it was only like last week or the week before. I was like, fuck yeah, I'm like, I'm digging this. Like I've got a bit of a rhythm now. I'm like getting some shit done. I'm not just like staring at a computer screen internally screaming because I don't know how to deal with the situation in front of me. I was actually, you know, getting a nice rhythm and now it's like, oh fuck, now we're gonna deal with like reopening again. It's only a gym thing, maybe not all it's cracked up to be.
It's the 2 to 4 week homeostasis rule. You take 2 to 4 weeks to adapt and then it's like, oh, now we gotta adapt again.
Yeah. That's all right.
It's such a good preview. Like I really hope that no one listening suffers a horrific injury or has to go and get a surgery, but it's really good preview for what that feels like.
Yeah.
It's like you get hurt or you go have a surgery or you have to take time off. You're like, fuck, I just want to lift again. Before you know it, you're back under the bar squatting more than you were before. Like it happens. It flies by so quickly. It's just those initial phases of adapting to the change in time feel like forever.
Yeah. That's been the sort of fluid nature of time has been one of the most fascinating observations I've had of life in general over the last couple of years. And it's been parenting. That's
definitely, yeah, I was going to say that must that,
make yeah, it man, like tenfold. It makes you realize that, you know, like there are times where the 5.5 seconds of something happening feels like a lifetime. And then you blink and it's 2 years later and you're like, oh shit, I don't even remember half of that. You know, it's a crazy idea to think that our perception of time is so skewed in just like the weirdest, very odd ways that, yeah, you don't realize until you have something like this that both seems like an eternity and seems like no time at all. It's a very interesting perspective shift, I think.
I think it's just because we're getting old and crusty as well. Because when you're
I definitely think
that when you're a teenager and everyone's like, oh, it'll go so fast. Like, it's taking like 6 years to finish 1 month of fucking high school.
Yeah. And now I forget how old I am because I don't remember. I was like, I only turned 30 like last year. No, it was 2 years ago. Fuck. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's weird. Time is a weird construct to play with. But and that's the thing that I think a lot of people don't, or is certainly one of the most common conversations, I guess, that I have is around explaining to people that like 6 weeks, even 6 months in the scheme of a lifetime of training is fuck all. Yeah. But it's perspective. When you've only got 6 months of training experience, 6 months off seems like an eternity. Mm. When you've got 6 years of training experience, 6 months is a little easier to cope with. Mm. You know, I think... yeah, hopefully a bit of perspective shift can help everyone move forward in a way that is just a little bit more grounded in understanding the actual effects of what's going on.
What are you most looking forward to about your gym reopening?
I think just having everyone in and like being able to see the place thriving again. It's been kind of depressing to go into the gym. Like it's not depressing. So I talked to Jordan Shallow the other day. We recorded an episode of RX Radio where we talked about like branding and culture and stuff. And he was saying like, you know, I'd said to him, it's kind of depressing to see the thing that I've built so hard, worked so hard to build over the last 5 years, empty and devoid of people. And he said, yeah, but also like actually the thing that you've built is the community. And by lending out all the equipment, you're actually just spreading that community out and you're just like, there's a little piece of you in everyone's lounge room, which is a kind of creepy thought to have. But a useful perspective. I think it's cool to know that everyone's got all the equipment and they're kicking ass at home, but also it's sometimes hard to see that because I can't see the, you know, the fruits of my labor, if you will. It's a little bit harder to feel that in a tangible way like you can when you walk into a gym where the music's pumping and everyone's having a good time.
Mm.
So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to being able to run comps again and do all of that sort of stuff. But I'm certainly, like you said at the start, going to reassess the amount of time I'm in the gym and find a way to be a bit more balanced around not working from 5:30 in the morning till 8:30 at night. Because, I think if anything, I've learnt a lot about a bit more family time and the benefits of that sort of stuff over the last few weeks. So I'm excited for a bit more balance. But, yeah, just generally I'm excited to have people back in the gym and kicking ass again and, like, coaching in person.
Yeah,
I miss hanging out with people and talking shit and watching people lift in a way that isn't one fixed camera angle where I have to watch 15 seconds of them setting up and that sort of thing. I'm looking forward to that for sure. What about you?
Much the same, man. Just catching up with everyone and seeing everyone. Like, not, you know, I'm very much a leader sort of figure at my gym. I'm not everyone's best friend, you know. I'm there as the guy that owns the gym and who coaches everyone. So it's more that sitting back and just observing it thriving, yeah, like you said. And like, we've made so many changes to both of the gyms, a whole bunch of new equipment, you know, redid the floor and the turf and stuff at the Brisbane gym, heaps of new equipment at the Gold Coast gym. Just watching people, you know, come in and be like, whoa, this is like, we've been away, we've come back through this real shit time. The gym's better than it was before. Like that's exciting to me. I'm really excited to see people's reactions and people's passion for coming back to a place that they already thought was great and now is better. So,
yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, excited for that. Cool.
I don't really have much else to say to that. I think we covered everything I wanted to talk about there.
Sounds good. Excellent. And we're getting pretty close to 100,000 downloads. So people, like us, share us, put us on your Instagram, spread the good word. This is exciting. Yes.
We were at like 88,000 a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's exciting.
I'm getting close.
I really hope all our travel restrictions are properly lifted so we can do a in-person 100,000 download episode.
Keen as.
That'll be a fun time for all.
Exactly. All right. Talk to you all next time.